Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Adani Green Energy Limited conference call hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sabri Zakaria from Emkay Global Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Manav. Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Emkay Global Financial Services, I welcome you all to the Q4 and FY25 post-earnings conference call of Adani Green Energy Limited. Today's session will be a discussion on the results followed by question-and-answer round. Now, without any further delay, I would like Mr. Viral Rawal, Head of Investor Relations, for the opening remarks and management introduction. Over to you, Viral.
Thank you, Sabri. A warm welcome to all the participants in the call. Adani Green Energy has continued its streak of delivering robust operational and financial performance. We hope you would have had the opportunity to go through the earnings presentation that we've uploaded on our website. Let me introduce the management participants. We have Mr. Ashish Khanna, who has taken the charge as the CEO of Adani Green from 1st April this year. Mr. Khanna is an industry veteran and a campaigner for green growth. Prior to joining us, he was at the forefront of leading the renewable business of Tata Power as CEO of Tata Power Renewable Energy. His 36 years of career span ranges from oil and gas, petrochemicals, thermal, power, and renewables. Mr. Khanna has completed executive program from IIM Ahmedabad, holds a master's degree in management and systems from IIT Delhi, and is a bachelor of engineering from Delhi College of Engineering. We also have Mr. Saurabh Shah, CFO, Mr. Rajkumar Jain, head of business development, and Mr. Anupam Mishra, head of corporate finance at the group. I look after investor relations. Let me now hand over to Mr. Ashish Khanna for brief opening remarks to be followed by a Q&A session.
Thank you, Will. Good afternoon to everyone. And welcome to this call again. I am thrilled to share the outstanding operational and financial performance of Adani Green Energy for the fiscal year 2025. FY25 has been a record year for India's renewable energy growth. It has been a testimony to the fact of what all has been done by various developers, and above all by Adani Green, that we have been able to add 30 gigawatts of renewable energy. This also includes the hydro part of it. At Adani Green Energy, we have contributed significantly by adding 3.3 gigawatt of new capacity. This is the highest ever by any renewable company in India. Our efforts accounted for 16% of India's utility scale solar and 14% of wind power installation in FY25. We, as always, have done a great job and have added more than double in comparison to any other developer of this country. We are making significant progress towards developing the world's largest renewable energy plant at Khavda in Gujarat. In a short span of 2 years, we have been able to operationalize more than 4 gigawatt of renewable energy from that particular plant itself, and are well on track to complete 30 gigawatt by 2029. I don't know where you dropped us, but let me, where did we fall apart from everyone else?
Sir, just the last sentence you were saying.
Oh, that's not fine. So I think we were talking about at Khavda, we have operationalized more than 4 gigawatt in a short span of 2 years, and well on track to complete 30 gigawatt.
Thank you.
I don't know where all we are falling apart, but yes, let me again talk about Khavda, which remains and has been the pivotal in our progress. We did more than 4.1 gigawatt last 2 years and got well on track for the 30 gigawatt by 2029. The potential of Khavda can also be reflected from the fact that in the last quarter, the solar CUF was more than 32%. This all has been made possible because of the advancement in technology which we are deploying there. Whether it's bifacial insight modules, it's a single exit tracker, our robotic cleaning systems, all are playing a very important role in getting the maximum generation out from Havda. Our relentless focus on execution, operational excellence, and technology is further cementing our leadership role in the renewable energy sector in this country. On the financials in FY25, we surpassed more than $1 billion in EBITDA. Our energy sales increased by 28% on a YOY basis, reaching 28 billion units. Revenue from power supply grew by 23% to rupees 9,495 crores, and EBITDA increased by 22% to rupees 8,818 crores. We continue to prioritize digitization, robust capital management, and above all, the best-in-class governance system. Our advanced analytics techniques, automation, AI-driven decision-making processes, and optimizing our resources and making sure that our operations are best in class in the world and taking care of the safety as well as the governance is what's helping us and will continue to make us the biggest company of renewable sector in this country. As an important milestone in our capital management journey, Adani Green refinanced its maiden construction facility of US$1.06 billion. This long-term refinancing rated AA+ represents door-to-door tenure of 19 years, and it's well aligned with the cash flow life cycle of the underlying asset portfolio. We have a very comprehensive capital management framework to fully fund our growth up to 50 gigawatt by 2030, while maintaining a strict credit discipline. We remain committed to our environmental, social, and governance goals. We'll be happy to note that all our operations are now water positive, and this goal has been achieved a year before our own target. We continue to maintain our top rankings in esteemed global ESG rating agency and are ranked number one in Asia among top five globally in RE sector by ISS ESG, while Sustainalytics ranks us amongst the top 10. This all is happening because of the dedication of our team, trust and support of our shareholders and partners. I would like to reiterate that together we are committed to create a lasting value for our shareholders by delivering 50 gigawatt of clean and affordable power by 2030. We are targeting to add 5 gigawatts in this financial year too. Thank you for listening and apologies for the drops in call.
So should we begin the question and answer session?
Yes, please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. I repeat, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. Participants are requested to use handsets only while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Puneet from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. My first question is on your target to achieve 30 gigawatt by 2029. You are at 4.1, so that's basically you're looking at 5 gigawatt annually from here on. What are the key constraints you think you'll have to overcome to achieve this target, whether it's in terms of transmission connectivity or labor, if you can elaborate a bit more on that?
Thanks for your question. I think it's an important question to look at how we are going to achieve. First and foremost, I think what we have achieved so far of 4 gigawatts has given us the confidence on what we and the learning for what we are going to take it forward. Rate of reaching 30 gigawatts is very well in place with our additional capacity. I think one of the learnings are with while we have to create a bit infrastructure, which we have created in the last 1.5 years for our own employees as well as for the labor, which is world class. You know, it is very important that in a place like Agra, you have that infrastructure in place for the people to stay and work out there. We are the preferred, I would say, developer in that region because of the infrastructure which we have created. Some of the learnings have also come from the environmental aspect, the management of rains and, more importantly, the drains, the soil which we are discovering. All those factors have made us now come to a conclusion that from now on, all of our learnings are going to help us in definitely achieving the 30 gigawatt by 2029. If you have been mapping our quarterly results, then in the last quarter itself, we have 2.6 gigawatt, which we have added in overall sphere. And then now we are going to take it forward.
And transmission, do you worry about that, or is that largely under your control here?
You can check with respect to the evacuation which is coming out in on the transmission time. We are expecting another 4 gigawatt to be added by June and 7 by the end of this year. I think this is an area where we are keeping a very close track on what's coming in so that our operational capacities can seamlessly flow from the evacuation capacities which are being available. We are very happy to see the way the Ministry of Power is also monitoring these aspects, listening to us, mapping not only ours but other capacities too, and then making sure from their end too that the agencies who are interested with that work come from the timelines which are expected from all the developers to commission their plant.
Understood. And second question is on the solar CUF, especially in Khavda. While Q4 you talked about 32.4, on a full year basis, what is it that you are experiencing within Khavda? Both on solar and wind, if you can comment.
We are at that place only. I don't foresee. You know, please understand the CUF depends on how the God Sun is also destroying the sunlight on us. The radiation matters a lot in this process. Monsoon not able to get it across. But on a decent, that's why I exemplify the last quarter, and that would be the quarter in front too. So in monsoon, it will change across as such. But on a good sunny day, as we have, like we had the last quarter, and we do expect it in this quarter itself, it will be definitely on this range, if not above it.
And on a full year basis, that's the run rate you experienced last year?
I think on a full year basis, let me just check, give me a second on it. I think we are going to have a similar run rate too in totality. So we will have some seasons where it will be dipping across, but some will be even better. In fact, this particular quarter, we are experiencing even better than 32, and that's how we're doing it.
Yeah. So just to add, Puneet, so last year you know that there was a stabilization phase which we were going through, and now we're kind of near that stabilization phase. And going forward, the stabilization period will also be much shorter. So from that perspective, what Ashish is saying is basically we are looking forward to this kind of a CUF on an annualized basis going forward.
Okay, but you don't have I thought out of 4.1 gigawatt installed capacity, 1460 came in this year. So I thought some would already be operational on a full year basis. That's not the case. Is that how one should read it?
No, so whatever came up last year is fully there in terms of the stabilization, whatever got commissioned in the last quarter is under stabilization phase, right?
So Puneet, if you look across why we commissioned the project, there is always a stabilization phase which comes across. And there is a period of a month or two on sterilizing the whole plant. So the last year capacities are now fully integrated and are performing at their best level. This year capacities are also going across. But like I said, since we added a majority of the portion in the last quarter itself, their potential will be known in this or will be fully exploited in this coming quarter and full year. So we are expecting similar figures for the whole year now.
Understood. And if you can, you know, remind us what is the contracted signed PPAs that you have and what is in the pipeline beyond that also? And some nature of those contracts, if you can elaborate.
I'll request Raj.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. So we have close to 33 gigawatts of projects which are either in the form of contracted PPAs or the merchant capacities which we have already implemented. So roughly 30-odd gigawatts of PPA in this and 3-odd gigawatts of merchant capacity. And obviously, this is only if you look at it from the angle of what is contracted. A lot of our future power is actually getting into the things like merchant storage or the pump storage, etc. So a lot of feed is going there.
Understood. That's very interesting. And what will be the uncontracted but in pipeline beyond this?
So we have said that the overall portfolio, we will have a split of 25% and 75% of the capacities. And then within that framework, that 25% has the merchant and the C&I and the CFDs as the capacities. Rest all will be contracted capacities with the relevant DISCOMs and other off-takers.
So of the 14.2 gigawatts that is operational today, 14% is merchant.
14% is merchant. Okay.
Yeah.
And this 33 is beyond the 14.
No, this is just, so basically, if you add the PPA pipeline and some more merchant projects, then it goes to 33 in total, operational plus the pipeline.
So I think what is important, and just to understand the context, today, getting the PPA, last year we got some 10 gigawatt worth of bids within our own contracting strategy, where we had direct PPAs with Maharashtra, a lot of other PSP PPAs and hybrid PPAs. So within our contracting strategy, we could add 10 gigawatt. And that's what we have been saying, that adding a PPA to what we want to do is dependent on how much and when I want to firm up the revenue stream. Earlier, we were not bidding for good time because we thought it is good that we high-grade our projects for whatever revenue stream we tie up. And that's where you see whatever we have won in the last 1 year has that tariff numbers being reflecting a significantly better premiums. Now, within that strategy, me having a 33, 34 gigawatt as contracted capacity, I can easily add. I have added last year 10 gigawatt further contracts. I can always add further more. So it depends on the opportunity which you want to work with. So within the overall framework of 50 gigawatt, if you say 25%, say 2.5 gigawatt is the capacity which is supposed to remain in merchant C&I and CFDs. So balance 37 odd gigawatt will be contracted capacity, out of which we are already talking about 30 plus gigawatt as contracted. So there is nothing much left now to contract.
Understood. That's very helpful. Thank you very much, and I'll come back in a little. Thanks. All the best.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Ketan Jain from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, sir. So just a follow-up on the question. You said, what is the capacity under construction right now? Is it 30 gigawatt of projects are currently under construction? And the follow-up was that, as you said, is 30 gigawatt of capacity contracted already? Like, have you identified or have you signed the PPAs already?
Yeah, when we say 33 gigawatt, out of which, as I said, close to 3 gigawatt is merchant and the balance is contracted PPAs except for a small percentage, which is around 2.5. For which we have already got the LOAs, those are in the process of
that. Oh, okay, got it.
How we see as this as a strategy rather than looking at bit to bit.
Understood. Sir, and so how much capacity is currently under construction for the as a group? All the location.
Hello.
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 Hello. Yes, sir. Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, yes.
Sir, how much of capacity is currently under construction for Adani Green?
No, so I think what we are saying, we are targeting 50 gigawatt by 2030. We today have 14,240 gigawatt already operational. Then we have a run rate. Currently, we are targeting close to 5 gigawatt for the coming year. And then we have a growth rate of roughly 25% as a year-on-year increase. As I just explained to you, out of the 50 gigawatt, 25% is supposed to be targeted towards the merchant, C&I and other type of contracts, and the balance is towards the PPAs of the traditional nature, but we will be doing hybriding within those PPAs so that we have a better revenue profile there.
Understood. Sir, also for FY25 also we had a target of 5 gigawatt and we achieved around 3.2. What were the major challenges we faced?
I think the important factor which we discussed across earlier to admit that, which has been, you know, shared with you in our earlier meetings too, or interactions too, is the environment has not helped us. Our assumptions with respect to the environment, the rain there and the soil conditions there and the effect of those rains beyond the months where it was raining, I think there was some aspects to it which has now been taken care of. And these environmental aspects and our preparedness for the same is the prime reason. That's where we are coming back that in the last quarter after having all the learning. Because once you have these impacts, then remobilizing takes a short time. And sometimes it takes longer than it. Because the labor has to come from outside and all those things. So we are taking a lot of, I would say, new initiatives to make sure that this year we are much better with respect to most of the learnings, or in fact all the learnings which we have last year. And that is why we are confident about adding another 50% more, or 150% of our last year capacity. It is primarily coming from the learnings and how do we deal with it.
Understood, sir. Thank you. My last question is on the merchant sales. What kind of realizations are we getting at merchant, and do we sell most of it on the exchanges?
We have merchant capacities, and both say in case of solar, the market is giving us around 3.1, 3.2 as the weighted average revenues there. Plus, we also have the REC revenues attached to that. So the overall number would be around 3.6 to 3.7 as our expected realization. Now, that is for the last year. We expect markets slightly around the same number for this year, and then probably let us see how it picks up. At the same time, I just want to convey in our merchant capacities which we have set up until now, we have the ISTS waiver also with them, which gives an additional value as the ISTS waiver goes off from June 1st. On the wind side, the realizations are around 5.5 rupees. With the RECs, we are talking about roughly 6. And then, as there again, the ISTS waiver would again be a better value creation for us.
Understood. So my last question is with going just a follow-up on this. Going forward, we are seeing it excess solar power in the system in maybe next 2 to 3 years. What is an incentive for a developer to have merchant capacities at that point in time? If the solar prices are going to be as low as 1 rupee or less than 1 during the day?
So I think just to be very so from a strategy perspective, we have been increasing share of the wind in our merchant portfolio, and you would see more and more such capacities being there. The solar capacities merchant has been targeted in a manner to also realize the value around the ISTS waiver until June 25. Lot capacities post June 25, which we are putting up, has the capability of either serving the C&I market as well as then be available as a input for some of the pump storage which we are putting up. But at the same time, this is a market which you are seeing today. And as we move forward, we play this strategy dynamically to ensure that there is a maximum value which is realized for the capacities which we are putting up. Just a year back, you had merchant prices of even solar hours realizing more than 4 rupees. So we have to see how things move up. Last year, the overall growth of energy sector in India was 4.2%. Because of, you know, the lower growth rate in the quarters leading to the election just after that. We expect much better scenarios playing out with India's growth now actually picking up. So some of these things will again help in some of the merchant prices.
Understood.
I would add here that should not be taking a very myopic view on a short-term basis for a business opportunity. I think merchant remains, and it's not our total portfolio too. So I think we are very balanced in our approach towards merchant. And of course, like Raj said, whenever there are PPA opportunities, we are well placed to take full advantage of that. I think important factor is how cost effectively we can execute our projects and how excellent we are in our operations. If we have these two strengths, then the opportunities can always be taken full advantage of as and when it comes.
Yeah, understood, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Anuj Upadhyay from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So, thanks for the opportunity. So you mentioned the slippages of 1 gigawatt which happened was largely because of the impact of the rainfall which we had last year. Fair to assume the slippages was fully in Khavda, or there were some other places as well where we saw this kind of a slippages?
No, on other places, our plan to build a gigawatt in Rajasthan and 250 megawatt at Kadapa has been on track, absolutely on track. They are performing well. It was only, like you rightly understood, Nikhil, it was only in Qatar.
Okay. And any other transmission constraints which we are looking at, which might have an impact on the project commissioning, because this is what we have been hearing from other players as well, you know, like ROW is becoming an issue which are delaying project commissioning. So is there anything which you are witnessing in Khavda or Rajasthan as well?
Like you said, Nikhil, in the earlier remarks too, that the evacuation, we, like you, are also looking at it very closely, and so is the government too. We have been, you know, mapping our capacity extension in line with what is promised to us, and not only promise, we are also looking at the reality which is happening at site. Like I shared with you, the capacity extension in June and further on till December are going to help us a long way from our capacity extension in Khavda, the way we have mapped it across. There could be a week here or a week there sorts of issues, or a month here or a month there. But I think on an overall basis, on track. At least for us.
Okay. Fair point. Thanks for this.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Nikhil Nagania from Bernstein. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. There is one very interesting chart in the presentation where you show the mix of sales, how power was sold across the years. And a large volume sold in FY25 seems to be volume where you have a PPA, but it was sold on merchant. It happened a couple of years back as well, some Inform Power sale. But if you could please share some color on this, how was such a big chunk of sale on the merchant where PPA was already there? Was it all early commissioning, or was it grid constraint at the receiver end, receiving end? Or what was the reason for that?
Yeah, Nikhil, it is again that what I mentioned earlier, the testimony of the execution excellence of Adani Green, that our projects have come earlier than what they were scheduled to be, and the distribution company, where it goes, has given us the NOC of selling these powers in the merchant. So you have rightly guessed it is the projects early commissioning, and which is being fully utilized by us in selling this power in merchant.
Got it. But just to clarify on that, the most of the capacity which came online on the solar side seems to be the solar plus manufacturing linked PPA1, where the PPA was signed for majority in December 21 for 6 gigawatts. So it's still early commissioning on those assets, or am I missing something here?
Yeah, Nikhil, a lot of this capacity is prior to their expected COD dates as per the PPA, and that's where we have got the clearances from the off-takers that yes, this can be in the interim sold in the exchange market. Over a period, this obviously will move into the PPAs. At the same time, this is some kind of a cycle, so you would see for at least near future also that some of these capacities will be available for us for selling in the merchant market.
Got it. So FY26 also we could see a similar quantum or something around this range come in a similar way.
No, I'm not guiding that way. I'm just saying this is one strategy we adopt. It gets worked and you see the result here. We expect some of the capacity which we have finished this year will get into the PPAs in the near future. We will have few capacities to come in and where we will seek NOCs from the DISCOMs, and we may be able to have pre-COD power because those are early commissioned. Because as Ashish mentioned, with the way we have planned our capacity execution, we are able to commission the projects well ahead of their commissioning timelines.
Got it. Understood. Then my second question was on the Chitravati PSP. Any update on any PPAs for that asset, or we don't plan to contract it in the near term?
Chitravati PSP, the progress is going really well. We are on time when it comes to our execution. We have good amount of time still left for deciding on that revenue strategy with respect to the that particular project, and we continue to watch the market. We have both the options open, as I mentioned, for keeping it for in the interim in the merchant market and then later signing it up, or see if there are opportunities which are attractive for us to tie it up. So we keep our options open, and we have good time to decide on that.
So, Nikhil, if I can add your mom to it. I think important factor from a strategic standpoint for us is to execute project early and best in the class. Now, that gives us opportunity, which you have been mentioning, whether we get it on merchant or otherwise. So currently, our focus is to make sure that that Chitravati project should be the project which has come the earliest among all the PSPs which anyone else is doing. And that gives us the leeway as well as the advantage of then tapping it across to various opportunities which are available in the market at one day. Like I said, the strategy today is to execute that project in the least possible time.
Makes sense. On the same thought, then, any plans for merchant batteries as well, given the arbitrage we are seeing in the spot prices?
Keeping a very close watch on it. It's not that we are oblivious of this whole process of battery storage. There are lots of things which are happening within the company, and I think in the times to come, you will be one of the first ones to hear from us on that perspective.
Got it. And one last question, if I may ask. There were a few assets, a few sort of projects which were listed as under construction a year back. For example, a 600 megawatt hybrid project with 2.41 tariff. I think it was AHEJL or a similar name. And there were a couple of wind assets as well, where the tariff was about 2.7, 2.71, ARE7 and another one. We don't see that in the list of operating assets. Are those still under construction, or is there a plan to defer them given the, they were, the tariffs were on the low side?
So the 600 megawatt hybrid is currently under implementation. As it finishes, you will hear of the announcements regarding that particular project. We expect to have that commission sometime this year. That was the one which
got that. Understood. Okay, that, those are our questions. Thanks for answering them. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes. Good afternoon, sir, and congratulations on a good set of numbers. My first question is on the, what is the timeline for the 5 gigawatt Maharashtra? Is it fair to assume that the timeline is 2 years?
Yeah, it starts from 2 years, and then every 6 months we have additional 1 gigawatt each. So that is how it is there. And we expect to execute it as per the PPA grant timelines.
So it's 2 gigawatt plus 1 gigawatt each every year, right? Is that right?
So we intend to follow the timelines as per the contract agreement which has been signed. And if there are any changes on the same, of course, it will be known to you.
Understood. A second question, is it possible to give us how much is sold on merchant basis during this quarter? And what was the merchant realization?
Just give us a minute. Let's find it out. I think we sold in total around 2213 and 7.
So 2.5 million units on merchant basis and additional 5.6 million units on merchant basis, which were under PPA. That is part of the presentation.
So this is not talking about this quarter, sir. This quarter.
This quarter.
Yes. So broadly, obviously the quarter number can change, but broadly we are currently having pure play merchant of roughly 2,050 megawatt, and that's under the market. And we have, as I said, certain capacities which are commissioned prior to the COD dates, which will again go in the merchant market. Obviously, some of that will also now start tying up into the PPA. So that's what will be the capacities which we will have in this quarter.
We can come back. We can give you the quarterly numbers.
I'll take it.
We'll come back to you.
Sure. Understood. My third question is, what is the capacity or LOI for your entire 33 gigawatt? Where PPA is still due to be signed or concluded, and an expectation on the PPA signings, because we keep hearing that PPA signings are getting delayed, and does it also mean that the biddings have slowed down in the interim?
Yeah, so roughly out of 9.6 gigawatt which we won in the last year, roughly 6.25 gigawatt we have already signed up. The balance of roughly 3 gigawatt, which is yet to be signed. We are already in process out of that capacity also, something future. These are recent capacities only. So as you know, it takes some time for capacities to be signed. There is process and all of that which happens. So from an exposure perspective, per se, we do not have much capacities which are supposed to the PPAs, where the PPAs are pending. Even within this 9.6 gigawatt, roughly 1.4, we don't even currently have got the LOA process clear. So it is a really incentive.
So if I can add, see, I think it's not right on us to generalize the whole point of view about the PPAs being delayed.
from our standpoint, two-thirds of what we have won in the last has already been signed off as a part of the PPA. The balance are very recent, and I don't see much challenge, at least for us, but it is not right on us to comment generalize on a general comment on whether they have been delayed or not. We are very focused on actually what we are doing in the process.
Mm-hmm. Understood, sir. So what is the CapEx expected in F26 and any color on debt tie-up will be helpful, yeah.
So on in FY26, the as he said, there is it's a 5 gigawatt of capacity that we are commissioned, out of which nearly about 95% of that is now fully under various sanctions and such. So we have the debt tie-up done for that. We don't see any challenge on that kind of debt for the foreseeable future also.
Is it right to say that all of this has come from the domestic sources, mostly REC and PFC?
It will be generally from domestic sources for the current year because we already have the pensions in place, so it is generally coming from domestic sources, yes.
Understood. And so the more question on wind portfolio, CUF seems to be on the lower side at 27%. Is it by design or do you expect it to improve in the as the entire 26?
I think you have to look at into the age of these portfolio as such, and I'm very hopeful. So we have assets which are of a different class and have been built at a different time frame. But I'm very sure that the next year when you will be looking at us and more of our capacities in the range of 5.2 megawatt turbines, which has more than 35% of the CUF in Khavda is going to come in place, you will find that the overall basis too, this year will rise, notwithstanding the fact that the last year wind has not been as per what we have been assuming, and that you would have seen across all developers. The wind is not only specific to us as a cause of lower CUF as such, but like I said, in our portfolio, with more and more inclusion of these 5.2 megawatt amazing India's largest machines at Khavda, you would see a much better CUF on an overall basis too, as when their majority increases.
Mm-hmm. So what is the timeline for execution of that, the UP PSP? Is it 5 years or 4 years? Can you please confirm the number?
I think it is 60 months, but we can come back to you on this specifically. 72 months we are talking. 6 years.
Understood. Sir. Thank you and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we move on to the next question, a reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. I repeat, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. We have our next question from the line of Mahesh Patil from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks. My question has been answered. It goes on the wind development. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Baiju Joshi from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, you are. Yes.
Thank you for the opportunity. Just had a couple of questions. Firstly, on the evacuation capacity from Khavda, you briefly touched upon it, but I just want to understand near term and the 7 gigawatt you mentioned by the end of this year, and even in long term, just wanted to understand how bottlenecks in creating this capacity can impact Adani Green, and how insulated or impacted could we be from this evacuation capacity expansion. And secondly, my question was just wanted your thoughts on ISTS waiver that is ending in June.
Sure.
So first question was on evacuation capacity from Khavda that you briefly touched upon. I just wanted to understand how insulated or impacted would the company be in case there are bottlenecks in this capacity expansion. Second question was on ISTS waiver that's coming to end in June this year, and there have been talks of extension. Just wanted to know your thoughts on that.
Thanks, Raju. So I think we touched upon very clearly, not only touched upon, but we discussed in details that the current plan of evacuation, especially from Dhada, which are also monitored by the Ministry of Power very closely, and in many of the meetings, we are also a participant out there, gives us an indication that by the June this year, there would be an additional capacity of 4 gigawatt, and by December, we will have a 7 gigawatt. In our scheme of things, it should be fine with us as we are looking at their additional capacities with our commissioning of projects or plant at Khavda. Regarding the point on the ISTS waiver, I think it's a generic question. We all know what the Government of India is currently taking its view on. We are also closely watching the situation. As you know, we are not the decision makers. We will follow as per the policies of it. Currently, our strategy is to go with the policies and not to take over risk on any assumptions with respect to the ISTS waiver is concerned. That we are ring-fencing our organization from it. But if there is any change, of course, we will reach that and start recording.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone phone. I repeat, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one to ask a question. If you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone phone. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone phone. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Well, this is Ashish here again. So let me first again thank you, each and every participant, including the organizer. I'd like to reiterate again here that we are committed as a team to deliver the best in the country and are also committed to have the best of the operations in our excellence foray. The technologies which we have deployed in the last year has actually paid us very well and is also testimony of our performance in operations as well as execution. We are very confident on what we have projected in this particular year with all the learning and the dedication and the motivation of the team which we have here. We look forward for having more success as a part of our organization and your appreciation of the same. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you, NK team, for organizing this call. Thank you, Chorus. Thank you all the participants for taking the time out to join this call. Please feel free to reach out to us if you have any further questions. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of MK Global Financial Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.